going on, America? I am Graham Allen, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast. We have a special guest, Ross Patterson, joins us from the Drinking Bros podcast. We have a fantastic time today talking about woke parents, whether or not you should spank your children. We talk about whether or not the NFL draft was racist and if Jesus owned an AR-15. We hope you enjoy this, so sit back, relax, and welcome to the Dear America podcast.
Hey!
What's going on?
Jake, that was the most unenthused hey I have ever heard you say.
There it is. Pick it up, Jake. Pick up your tone.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast. If you have listened for a while, you will notice that we are missing some falsetta, some tenor in the tone here. Alyssa is not here today. She decided that it would be a better thing to go learn to be a chaplain for first responders with her selfishness. But we decided to put someone that rivals even her beauty on the podcast today. Many of you that are Drinking Bros fans will recognize his voice already. But for those of you who don't, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ross Patterson is here today. Ross, what's up, man?
Thank you. How are you guys? I'm f***ing right as rain today. Right out of the box. I was like, look, I'm not going to swear. That'll be my only swear word.
Just so you guys know, you just heard the beep. Before we started filming, we told Ross, we said, hey, we know that on Drinking Bros you do a certain way, but we don't cuss on this one. And Ross said, and I quote,
first sentence,
oh, don't worry, guys. I don't have to swear at all. It's no big deal. He made it 20 seconds. 20 seconds in the podcast.
That's awesome.
Golly.
Well, can I defend myself real quick?
Go for it, buddy.
All right. So we've been working on this book for over 3 years now. This is Matt Best's book. It's called Thank You for My Service.
Oh, yeah. The pre-sales just came out today. Yes.
Wait. Not only today, but no lie, less than 4 minutes ago. I just saw the finished cover for the first time. I just saw our names on the book for the first time. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty excited. This was a 3-year process. 17 months it sat with the Department of Defense.
What?
Man.
Why?
17 months.
Just because, what do you do? You talk about like missions or something like that? Is that what
yeah.
it was?
So, you know, Matt also did some contracting work. So it had to clear the DOD and it had to clear the CIA. The CIA was fast. I think that was maybe 30 to 45 days.
Really?
The Department of Defense does not work that fast at all.
No, ever. Ever.
And every story that you guys have told me about what a nightmare the military is to deal with. As far as like, you know, the VA trying to get contracts or things passed and all that stuff.
Healthcare.
Exactly. Make no mistake. If you're just trying to write a book about what you did in the military, it's the same weight and they treat you the exact same way. So for 17 months, it sat there and then we finally got a go ahead. We actually sold this book in 2016.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
So I started writing it, with Matt in May of 2016 and now it's May of 2019 and less than 5 minutes ago, the pre-sale just came out on Amazon. That's the first time I'd seen the cover.
So they didn't have you take anything out after looking at it for all that time?
You know, what was weird. The things that they asked to take out were really childish. Describe, there was the CIA, the word CIA had to go out. You could only say like the agency in it.
Wow.
Well, the other things are like Inspector Gadget. The phrase Inspector Gadget had to be removed and so did 007. Wow. We were like making a joke about James Bond. And the hard thing about this is the pitch of this book to all the publishers was, look, this is Deadpool meets the military. So you're going to get crazy stories, but with really, really dark, edgy humor attached to it. Right. So the book, you know, we're not exposing like, you know, the raid on Bin Laden or anything. We're just kind of talking about, you know, basic stuff that Matt went through there.
Yeah.
And they had a hard time with deciding what was real and what wasn't real. And like, we had said, look, we use fake names for some of these people, and they still were like, well, no, that's too close to somebody else's code name. And you're
like, give me a break.
Well, yeah, we're excited for Matt, man. Well, you know, I've always been a huge fan of Matt before we were friends. You know, congratulations. If you, what's the name of the book again, Ross?
The book is called Thank You for My Service.
Go get the book.
No lie. I just went live on Amazon 5 minutes ago.
So yeah, yeah.
You can pre-order it now. And for those who are not in the publishing world, pre-orders are the biggest things that will propel your book towards the bestseller list. So all of those pre-sales count towards opening week.
Yeah.
And that's how you become
number one.
It's all
about getting on the bestseller list, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you're just there for like a couple hours, it's all about just getting on there and adding it to it. And if anybody deserves it, Matt Best is that. Mm-hmm. Now, let's move on a little bit, Ross. Obviously, you have had an amazing career in Hollywood. And now, of course, with the gigantic success that is Drinking Bros. But really quick, just to introduce the audience to you, if they do happen to have been living under a rock and they haven't heard about Drinking Bros, Drinking Bros is one of my favorite podcasts. I love the idea behind it. Nobody should have to drink alone. You know, it's kind of this group of guys or girls hanging out and having a good time.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this, Ross, and I don't know if I told you this. Some of the inspiration for how I do this show was actually because of Drinking Bros and how you guys do it. Mm-hmm. I love the way that you guys, it's always you. I mean, you're always there. Dan is there a lot. Evan hops in, Jared, Matt, and all this stuff. But there's always multiple people on the show. And there was just something about that format that I fell in love with. That's why I listen to it all the time. And that's really what I wanted to bring here to Dear America. Just have a good time, man. Let's hang out. And, you know, don't feel alone when you're walking in the airport or you're driving to work to a job you may love or hate. Hang out with us and enjoy yourself. So, yeah, thank you for the inspiration, man. You really inspire me and everybody else with what you guys do.
Man, I greatly appreciate it. You know, we've put a lot of time into this podcast over the years, and we've been on for about 4.5 years now. We do a bunch of live shows. We have a Drinking Bros cruise on Carnival.
Nice.
This September.
We're not there yet.
No, but look, if you haven't been tested and you've already bought tickets, I think there's like 50 seats left on this thing, but if you haven't been tested yet, you might as well forget it until after the cruise is over. It's going to be that crazy. But, you know, we really try to go out, and Dan and I did this in the fall where, you know, we went out every 2 weeks across the nation with the sports show and tried to meet everybody face to face and thank them.
Right.
So we showed up at their tailgates and went live with them and their friends. And we're truly grateful for the success that the show has had for all of our listeners. And that was the whole point of it, was, you know, to show that, hey, you don't have to drink alone. We're always here. And if you might not get a chance to reach out to somebody to share what your problem is or what you're going through, but you can always switch us on and listen to us. And hopefully you feel that sense of comfort, like you can hang out and not end it all, you know, because that was the theme of why Jared Taylor, you know, started Drinking Bros, the group on Facebook, too, was, you know, the veteran suicide rate.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, it's an amazing thing. And I love everything about it. You guys were awesome to me when I had been doing it for a little while, but you guys really kind of took me under your wing and you know, hung out with me and gave me some friends before Jake came along. Of course, I've got Jake now. You know, I love everything about it. It was huge inspiration for this show and why we do things the way we do it. But enough of that emotional frou-frou stuff. We all love each other. Let's hop into some things that are going on. So I'm going to try to open up my phone here. And we like to keep it real with you guys. So I'm my phone's trying to be dumb and not recognize my face with the microphone in front of it. So let's talk about some things that are going on. So let's just open this podcast up with weird post I've seen of the day. And I would love to get some people's reactions. Ross, remember, we're going to keep it PG-13 for your response for this.
Of course.
But I want to say this is real stuff. So these are real people that are posting things on the internet. This appears to be an adult And I say that by her age, obviously not how she lives her life. But these people have cars. They're voting. So it is a picture of a woman. Jake, I'm going to show you. All right. Okay. It's pretty bad. I don't know if Ross can see if I put it through the Skype camera here. Do you kind of see what we're looking at right here, Ross? This kind of person.
No, not at all.
Okay.
Technology is just not there yet. Look, I wish you were a hologram figure inside my studio right now, but we're on a frozen Skype where I can see your mohawk and your face down. It almost looks like the end of a Bruce Springsteen video.
Oh my gosh. All right. So going back to this, now this lady she appears to have clothes on, but she's doing an up angled shot where she's looking at the phone, kind of like she would look at the sun, and her eyes are profusely red. And they've blocked out the name of this person, but she obviously posted this in a group forum called Urine Therapy. All right, this is a real thing.
There you go.
Ross's face just lit up like a kid on Christmas over this one. All right, so here's what she posted. This is real people in America now. I've been doing urine drops in my eyes and holding a glass of urine over my eyes for short durations throughout the day. My eyes are getting red and discharging large amounts of pus. Wondering if anyone else went through this.
Now I'm going to say overshare, first of all, on that. No reason you should ever post that in a million years.
But we all
have friends like that. We all have friends on Facebook and social media who post the most disgusting pictures possible. And they're like, man, what do you think this is?
Yeah, she read the wrong Huffington Post
article. Dear America, let us know what you think. Is urine therapy a thing? Is that something that, one, there should be groups on Facebook for? I mean, is there enough people in the world that practice urine therapy that we need to formulate an entire group on Facebook about it and have discussions on whether or not anyone else is having some adverse reactions to urine therapy? Jake, your thoughts on urine lady?
I'm sure it has some beneficial properties in urine.
Oh, my God.
He's correct in this. I've got a story after you. I'm with you.
I don't know about pouring it into your eyes, but there might be something a scientist could get out of urine that could be beneficial.
There's some weird people in the world, man.
Man, how embarrassing.
People.
Just Google it, man.
All right, Ross, what's this story? I can only prepare myself for...
Look, Graham, I'm one of you. I'm from the South. I know sound like it. It took years and years to get rid of this accent so I could star in movies. I had to get rid of the Southern accent, but I grew up my entire life in Georgia. I got my first earache in, I want to say kindergarten or first grade, went to the nurse and no lie, this was inside the school. She goes,
now what you need to do is put a little warm urine in there, just maybe like 3 or 4 drops and lay on the side of your head and just let it soak in there.
I went home and told my mom this story and I said, look, I got an earache. And she goes, well, we should take you to the doctor. And I go, I don't think we need to. I was like, the school nurse just said I could just put 4 drops of my own urine in it. She lost her mind.
That's amazing. You know what that is? That is an old woman that has seen some stuff and lived to tell about it. That is some hardened individuals that we don't have anymore.
What about like when you get stung by a jellyfish? They tell you to pee on it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And apparently it works.
Well, okay.
An athlete's foot. Isn't that something you
hashtag
pee
Dear
in the
America,
shower?
Is urine therapy a thing? And is it popular enough that we should have our own groups about it?
Hey, Graham, you're in the minority on this one from the three of us.
They know some things that we don't know, apparently. All right. Moving on. So this was something that I made a video about over our break. And what I mean by break, I was kind of out of the loop for about 2 weeks because we were traveling all over the place. We had NRA. We were trying to find a house and all this other kind of stuff. So this happened. I made one video about it. But other than that, I kind of let it fall through the radar. And this is going to be an open discussion for you, Ross, first, since you're the guest, and then Jake. And we're going to talk about this, okay?
Sure.
Charlize Theron has made some waves here in the past little bit of time where she came under fire from me and other people, where basically she said that her 7-year-old son is really a girl. Now, before you go about it, let me tell you the full story about this. So She has a son. The son looks at her at age 3 and says, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. So Charlize Theron, in her wisdom, goes, you know what? Nobody knows better than you. I'm going to start raising you as a girl. Before I get on my kick, Ross, let's just go to you first. First and foremost, Charlize Theron's 7-year-old child is not a boy. He's a she. What do you think?
Well, boy, I could really back up the truck on this one and unload. First of all, at the age of 3, all of us men have seen something out in stores when we were little boys and said, oh, man, I'd like a pair of ballet shoes, or I'd like to play with a Barbie because another kid had a Barbie, things
or
like that.
Or played with your mom's high heels in the closet and all that other kind of stuff. Yeah,
you bet. You know, you start off as a Bruce and you want to be a Caitlin for a day. You know, you're 3 years
exactly.
old. You don't know any better. No big deal. Right. Your parents dismiss it. You move on about your life. Now you're 7. You're 7 years old. Charlize Theron's your mom. And it's like some of that stuff still carries over. In no way, shape or form should a 7-year-old be able to determine that they are transgender and they want to become the other gender one day.
Right.
For me personally, you know, first of all, it's celebrities. Second of all, there's no secret why Charlize Theron has been single all this time.
Yeah.
Do you see how blindingly hot she is? If she wasn't insane, she'd have been married 30 years ago.
Oh,
I don't know what's going on there, but in a serious tone here, I would really like to say this, that there should be a law passed for an age of which you can determine the child themselves, you know, 18 years old. Hey, I think I was born a different gender and I'd like to try to get, you know, gender reassignment surgery. But I don't think mentally you're there until 18 years of age. Do you?
Right. No. Jake, what do you think?
You remember that story of that lady who she let her kid walk to the park and she was arrested for it. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Her
kid walked
a couple blocks, and it was dangerous to the child. There should be some kind of child abuse. You know, you're damaging the child's brain and setting him up or her up for failure and to have confusion about some of the most basic things in life. And if you can get arrested for letting your kid walk to the park, I think there should be some kind of consequence for, especially if you start using hormone therapy and stuff like that. I mean, that's just child abuse.
There was something
opinion.
Similar when I lived in South Carolina. There was these parents that got, I don't know if they got arrested, but the cops definitely got called and they showed up at their house to ask them some questions. These two kids got dropped off by the bus at their house. Parents didn't get home till like 5 o'clock. The door was locked and it was summertime. But they were at their house. There was a water hose and everything outside and all this other kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, the neighbor called the cops on the parents, basically neglect and all that stuff. Well, you're leaving your kid out in the thing. So I'm going to say this. It is absolutely ridiculous to even remotely listen to a 3-year-old or a 7-year-old or a 10-year-old, even for that point, about what gender they want to be. Now, we can go the religious thing all we want. Religiously, everybody knows where I stand on this. All right, look, do I agree with it? No, I don't. But at the same time, you know what? You want to live your life and do what you do, go about it. I'm not going to come at you, you know, aggressively or anything. But to think that a child can make these kind of decisions. You can't even get a tattoo without parental consent at 16, but you're going to be able to decide what gender you're going to be at the age of 3 or 7.
Yeah.
You can decide what parent you want to live with at about 14. You can make that decision in a court of law, but you can't, but you're going to make an even bigger decision of an impact of what gender you think you are at the age of 7 or below. That is absolute insanity. It makes no sense. We have people that want to be these woke parents instead of being real parents. Now, hey, you want a tattoo? Cool. When you're 18, you can go get as many tattoos as you want. Hey, you don't want to be a boy anymore? Cool. When you're 18, you can go be whatever you want to be if that's what you so choose to do. But let them be a kid. Let them be who they are. You know, the kid was born a boy. Let him be a boy.
And kids have to get to a certain point of, you know, social development by like 4 or 5, or else they are set up for failure. And, man, you are just setting that kid up for a tough time in school. You know, he's going to be telling his friends, yeah, I'm a girl.
Yeah, I mean, it's awful. Look, and if you want to get a tattoo, you know, what is it, 16 you said? Or
yeah, parental consent with 16, yeah.
16, then let her kid get a tattoo of a vagina over his own penis then. You know there what I'm saying? Go. Because, at this point, you cannot let a child make that big of a decision. Let him get the tattoo of it first to see if he likes that. And then
yeah, get a tattoo that says, I'm a girl. Let it sit there for 3 years. And then if 3 years later, you still go, you know what? I agree with that tattoo. Then go be a girl.
Yeah. And the doctor's got something to cut and paste over. You know what I'm saying?
We should make that a t-shirt. All right. So this next one, moving on, there's a lot of things to talk about today in this episode. Hashtag Dear America for this one. All right. So hashtag Dear America. Let us know if you agree that it's right or agree that it's wrong. So CNN reports, my favorite Twitter account to follow, because you just find just amazing things on CNN that's going on. Okay. So CNN reports, this is an opinion article, of course, but CNN verified page shared it, so I of course look at it, and it reads just like this: the era of spanking is finally over.
Thank god
all these child abusive parents disciplining your kids. How dare you be real parents? Hashtag Dear America. Is spanking bad, yes or no? Ross, what do you think about this? You were a Southern guy raised.
Come
what do you
on.
Think? What do you think
I got
about this?
My hide turned inside out, brother.
Oh my gosh.
You name it. It started with a wooden spoon, moved up to a wiffle ball bat as I got older, and then a belt.
I don't want to judge, Ross, but I just, from knowing you, I have a feeling that you were at least a spank or two every day kind of kid growing up.
Everybody wonders why I stand up all the time in real life. That's it. I was so
sore.
Used to not sitting down most of my childhood that I'm always standing.
People put Ross's parents in prison now many years later from hearing this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. It's one of those things, man, where it's I call it the pussification of society.
Right. Yes.
That's what this has become. And, you know, you start taking away things to discipline your child. And again, I don't have a problem with spanking. I spank my own child.
Yeah,
you know, I've got children as well. You know, it's not in a malicious way. It's not like I'm electrocuting them or anything. So it's an effective teaching tool as a parent to, you know, reinforce the fact that, hey, as kids, there's certain things you can't do in this life. And these are the consequences. I also agree with timeouts and all that other stuff. But, you know, as long as you're doing it in a loving way as a parent, trying to prepare your child for the world, I don't see the problem with it. What I think is going to happen with CNN and this stupid article they have, I think they're trying to get it out into the media so much to discourage people from it that, you know, by coming out and saying, well, it's over. Much like the Trump collusion thing, well, this is what happened, and we're going to talk about it for 2 years and try to convince people. No, you're not. Parents are going to discipline their children the way they want to and the way that they see fit. Me, you, or CNN shouldn't be the ones to tell you the way to discipline your child, because we're not living with them on a day-in, day-and-out basis.
Right. Jake, I would be curious to get your input on this. You are not a father yet.
Nope.
Hopefully soon, you know, and all that stuff. But I'm curious your perspective looking in as someone who doesn't have kids, but you see kids in society a lot, just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are your feelings on this?
I think consistency is one thing. Like, if you let your kid run around doing all this stuff and then you decide to spank him, you know, it's kind of like with a dog. You know, the dog's going to be confused at why
you just compare children to dogs. Yep, Jake,
the podcast is
shut down. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, there's
kids
can't rationalize, you know, like us adults. So that's just one of the only ways you can get it across.
Right.
This is not allowed at all.
Yeah.
And it goes back to the Charlize Theron thing. Like, yeah, the pussification of America. You can't hurt the kids, you know, just let them grow up to to be people who put pee in their eyes, you know, if that's yeah. what they want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
So I made a video talking about it. And you know, basically, I'm very pro spanking kids. All right. Just I mean, I'm serious, man. Look, especially with boys. All right.
Yeah.
You know, boys, especially, dude, that, you know, there comes a time in 98% of boys' lives, and you two will know what I'm talking about when I get to it. Every boy eventually becomes a teenager and all this other kind of stuff. And every boy becomes that. Every guy wants to be the alpha, mm-hmm. right? You know, you have a dad and all this kind of stuff. There's always a point where a teenage boy will step to a dad, you know, and all yeah. this stuff, right? So I'm not condoning beating your kids,
right.
okay? I'm not. Like, and I'm not condoning, per se, that spanking should be the first thing you do all the time. You got to let kids be kids. Kids are going to make mistakes. Kids are dumb. Dumb. I got three kids, and let me tell you something. They are dumb. They do things that they know they're not supposed to do, but my oldest is 8, right? So mm-hmm. you let your kid make the first kid mistake, right? Don't touch that. If you touch that again, I'm going to tear you up. You know, it's as simple as that. And then sometimes I have kids that look at me straight in my face. They will stick their finger out while looking at me and touch with one finger the very thing that I told them not to touch. That is when you assassinate. And that is and that's just the truth, man. You got to teach kids that there is order in life. There are rules you must follow. And if you don't follow the rules, there are consequences to it. You know yeah. what that prepares them for, guys?
Not being put in prison.
That prepares them for not going to jail, and it also prepares them for something called a freaking job.
Yes.
If you don't do what your boss tells you to do, whether you agree with it or not, guess what? You ain't got a job anymore.
You don't got food.
You don't have food. You can't eat. You can't provide for your hopefully soon to be family. Mm-hmm. I think that the reason that we have a bunch of just safe space needing, Tide Pod eating, just millennial, just feelings matter, words hurt.
Yeah.
Sissies disguised as adults running around is because of the fact parents want to be their kids' friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it's like, you know, yes, you can be friends with your children after they leave the nest. You know what
there
I'm saying?
There you go.
Like,
there it is right there.
It's before that, it's tough, man, because you've got to be the disciplinary factor in their life, and you got to show them, you know, the rights and wrongs of society. Does that mean you can't have fun with your children? Absolutely not. I have a blast with my kids all the time. They're rad, but if they step out of line, I'm going to get involved and let them know, hey, that's the wrong yeah. path to take, whatever you're doing, you know, whether it's yeah. hitting a kid on the playground or, you know, jumping off the roof of your house with a pillowcase thinking you could fly. Like, yeah. I'm going to let them know, hey, that's the improper thing to do there. Chances yeah. are they realize it when they hit the ground, but I'm going to pick them up off the ground, spank them, and then say, hey, let's not try to fly off the house anymore.
Right. Right. There's one thing in my house that is absolutely, you do not pass go. You do not collect $200. You don't get a redo. And that is disrespecting Alyssa in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, and I realize that, you know, that is a Southern thing primarily. I understand that there is just something about, you know, Alyssa is their mom, but at the end of the day, Alyssa is my wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And what you're not going to do, yeah, that's your mother you're talking to, but more specifically, you're talking to my wife. And if I wouldn't right. let a grown man talk to my wife a certain way, then I for dang sure ain't going to let my children
yeah.
talk to her a certain way. And that's the only thing that's automatic. You're getting tore up,
yeah.
period. You disrespect yeah. your mom, it is over with. Okay, Ross. This one is, I picked this specifically for you because I knew that you were coming on today. And one of my favorite things that Drinking Bros does is you do, you know, like you said, you go to college campuses or professional games and you do your podcast from there. So the NFL draft happened not too long ago. And Kyler Murray, most people knew that he was going to go first overall in the first round. He gets selected, but then Nick Bosa gets number 2 to the 49ers. Now, this is what I want to talk to you about, Ross, and we'll get your opinion first, and then Jake will go to you. All right. Time Magazine reported this. This is how they reported it. All right. It says, Kyler Murray, a black man, was the number 1 NFL draft pick. Trump congratulated the number 2 pick instead. Now, the way that they have made that sound is that Trump is a racist and he hates black people, and that's why he wouldn't. That's why he wouldn't congratulate Kyler Murray. But what they failed to say is that Nick Bosa has been an adamant Trump supporter who weeks ago, before the draft even happened, said, I had to delete tweets because I'm afraid I'm going to go to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And they're going to hate me over there because I'm a Trump supporter. And he was proved right. Yes. The second he was drafted, tweets and threats and everything came across. He's a white nationalist. He's a Klansman. All this stuff. That's why Trump congratulated this young man, because this young man, because of his beliefs, et cetera, did what he did. Ross, your thoughts, man. I mean, what's going on?
I got a lot of them here because, first of all, Nick Bosa went to my alma mater. He went to the Ohio State University.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And I've followed him. I was on the sidelines for a couple of the games this year. Like you said, for Drinking Bros Sports, we get field access. We get to go on the field. And you get to learn a lot about the players, and you get to learn a lot more about the game, and more importantly, like the business dealings with it. So,
right.
With that, with Nick Bosa, it was widely assumed since week one, week two of the college football season that more than likely he would be the number one pick in the draft.
Right.
Even after his injury week three against TCU, in which we were on the field for that. And he said, I'm done for the year. There's no way I'm going to be able to come back from this injury. I knew he was out for the year, and I just assumed that he would be the number one pick in the draft. Well, the Arizona right. Cardinals ended up with the very first pick in the draft. They hired a new coach named Cliff Kingsbury, a young guy. He was at Texas Tech. He's actually recruited Kyler Murray for 8 years. He takes right. over as coach. They end up going by every miracle needed to happen for Kyler Murray to go number one, and it did. With the Cliff Kingsbury situation, he ended up going number one. Now, the draft board is set. San Francisco is at number two. Nick Bosa, until that draft number came out and which team that was, he probably would have left it that it was Trump. But because San Francisco is such a liberal city, his mm-hmm. publicist and his team of people went in and said, look, man, we think you should go back in and delete all of these tweets. We know that people have screenshotted them already, and this is going to come up. You're going to have to release a statement because of the city that you're going to, saying, I realize that some of my comments in the past might be viewed as offensive, because he also called Colin Kaepernick a clown for what he was, doing, kneeling.
He is. He is a clown. Let's just go ahead and say that right now. Yeah.
Same.
Yeah.
But he played for the San Francisco 49ers.
Right.
That San Francisco's also got that Ninth Court of Appeals, which is, where all of these Trump laws go to die, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's there.
Right.
And then they have to go to the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Yep. Nick Bosa had no choice but to do this. Because of the scrutiny he took in the media,
right?
That's why Donald Trump came out and congratulated him. It had nothing to do with race. Zero yeah. to do with race. But that's not a good enough story for the media. The media yeah. needs something more than that. And they need a black and white story. And in particular, this one, in order to sell. Because truthfully, we knew about 2 or 3 weeks ago this is probably how the draft was going to shake out. So right. if you don't have this tweet from Trump, this story isn't really that big of a deal. Nick right. Bosa gets drafted right. by the 49ers. He ends up going in there on his first day, his first press conference in a 49ers uniform, saying, hey, guys, I want to say that I'm contrite about the tweets that I made in the past. I hope you understand that I was young and I've moved on and I'm a better person and blah, blah, blah. Obviously, his publicist made him say that. He
makes my blood boil, man.
Yeah.
Makes my
mine
blood
too,
boil.
Man. So when I heard all of this and I saw this happening in real time, I knew this was going to happen. The feedback, from the media was exactly like I predicted on my show. And then, the very first person I saw was good old Jameel Hill saying, I'm disappointed in my 49ers with, some crappy sitcom emoji. And she was one of the most politically outspoken persons or people on SportsCenter. A job which she now no longer holds because she got fired. So, her coming out and saying all this and then the media spinning all this, none of this is a huge surprise to me, but it doesn't mean I'm not pissed off about it.
Right. Jake,
What do you think, man?
Well, they've been saying Trump's a racist since day one and have zero examples. You know, the only one they can bring up is that piece of property he owned that the landlord didn't want to rent to black people or whatever. Oh, and so they have finally proof that Trump is a racist.
What about all the times that Trump has proved that he's not a racist? What's crazy to me? What about when Tiger Woods won? I'm pretty sure Donald Trump called Tiger Woods straight up and said, hey, you're coming straight to the White House, buddy. Yeah. What about all the times that every national championship winner, every Super Bowl winner, every World Series winner, everything has been invited to the White House and then they don't go? What about those people? I don't know if you guys know this, but most professional sports teams have a lot of black people their teams. Yep. So Trump must be this huge racist. Right.
It's hard to if somebody like Trump getting attacked all day for being a racist, you know, and you got this kid who actually agrees with, you know, your policies, what you're doing in the country. And you reach out to the kid because of all the things he's been going through. And yeah, of course,
this is just Trump's a racist. This is just another example of how Colin Kaepernick single-handedly almost destroyed sports with his cowardice, selfish display. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, even so many years later, Colin Kaepernick is a whatever. He hadn't played in years. Okay. He got rich off of taking advantage of in the national media of injustices that are going on. He didn't ever really care about it. He got rich off of it, but that's a whole nother discussion. Even today, these young men, because they're like 21, 22 year old young men at this point, they can't even say what they believe politically without fear of not getting drafted or being basically kicked out of the city in which you go to because it's so miserable for you to live there. This is the sports world that Colin Kaepernick single-handedly created for everybody. Ross, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, I think this is going to continue.
Oh, no. Tom Brady even came under heat last year because an old picture of him doing an interview with a Trump hat was in there.
Yeah. And in sports in particular, it's become such a hot button topic. I think this only continues. To go back to your Tiger Woods statement, you know, Trump and Tiger played golf about 2 months ago before he won the Masters.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've been good friends for years and all that other stuff. Again, if Trump is so racist, he would not be playing golf with Tiger Woods.
Right.
You know, which is what, one of four black golfers playing right now.
If you are a true racist, you don't hang out with the race that you hate, whether they're famous, whether they have money or not. If you are a true racist, you don't hang out with I hate pedophiles. I'll say it right now. I don't pick select famous pedophiles that I hang out with just because they're famous or they got money.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like wife beaters. Mm-hmm. I hate wife beaters. I don't pick select wife beaters that, you know, just have a lot of money or a lot of influence and not hang out with them. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you are truly a racist, you hate an entire group of people based off of their skin color. That's what a racist actually is. Not somebody that disagrees with a person who happens to be black or happens to be white or whatever it is. That's not what racism is. People have as weird as it is to say, they've perverted the term of what racism actually means.
Right. And they need Trump to be racist. I mean, it's been a part of the narrative from day one. So any piece of any tweet, any news story, they'll jump on it, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, let's move on. Let's see. Oh, this is good. We haven't talked about guns in a while. Let's talk about this. Ross, you're going to get first kick at this. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to read the tweet thread and then let you go.
Sure.
And then we'll go Jake and then we'll go me. Oh, hashtag Dear America, is David Hogg an idiot? Let me know what you think. Hashtag Dear America. All right, so here we go. All right, so this was a little bit after the NRA in Indianapolis. Vice President Mike Pence tweets this. Under this president and this administration, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That sounds a little familiar. Sounds like, sounds like the Second Amendment. Either way, David Hogg, you guys know David Hogg, the Parkland shooter guy or whatever. He comments underneath, and this is not an altered thing. This is a real deal. All right. David Hogg, remind me, how many AR-15s did Jesus own? Ross,
your immediate thoughts to this brain buster of a tweet here.
Oh, why do we keep giving this kid a platform?
No kidding.
It's crazy to me. I thought it would go away. You know, like I thought it was like Yodel Boy or something. And then it was just like, that was a fun thing. We'll just kind of forget about it. You know, he just keeps popping up over and over and over again. Look, I think he's attending. Is it Harvard right now?
Yeah, some
Harvard,
so.
Either Harvard, yeah, or Stanford, one of the Ivy League schools. You know, instead of Aunt Becky, you should be checking his parents on how he got into there, because there's no way he was smart enough to get into that school.
No, he's an idiot.
You know, I think with somebody like that, you're essentially setting your life up as a career for a political activist. I don't know what that kid is going to do in real life, but this is the only way to stay relevant is to tweet and, you know, do all of these things to remind yourself of that. Oh yeah, it's the kid from the Parkland thing that wasn't that at the school or whatever Parkland. It was. The more and more we keep talking to him and going back for him for comments on things, the more and more this kid is going to live on. And you know, I would just assume that he would get his degree in political science, move on, run for whatever, you know, small district in California you think you can win, and continue the tradition of just being an idiot for a long, long time. But, you know, unfortunately, it probably won't turn out like that.
If the Bible hadn't said that the Antichrist would be loved by everybody first, I would think that David Hogg had a good shot there. All right, Jake, what do you think? Maybe we should just call Jesus on his cell phone to see, you know, how he feels about guns.
Did
at
they
this
even
point.
Have gunpowder back then?
No, they didn't have, no, man. Oh, God, I don't even know how to talk.
Yeah.
First, all right, guns protect human rights at the end of the day. That's what it is. But then the thing that irritates me the most, and this is coming from my Christian perspective, is these people that try to use Jesus or God to push their own stupid agenda. Show me a place in the Bible, David Hogg, where Jesus said he didn't like guns. I'll wait.
Yeah.
It ain't in there. I'm pretty sure. I don't know for sure. Maybe it's a book that got left out one day. Maybe the Lord will deal with me when I meet him at the pearly gates. But I'm pretty sure Jesus never said, I hate guns.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that, man. We are allowing these idiots to have platforms, and the worst part is there are people that love this kid, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think the left, liberals in particular, have given him a platform and help him write out his stuff. You know, they're trying to target young kids getting to that age of 18, and he's who a lot of kids, you know, look up to, very sadly. So I think he's bought and paid for and is a tool by the liberal media.
I agree. I think he's bought and paid for as well. And I think there's a lot more people out there that we don't know about that are bought and paid for as well. And it's
completely. He's a pawn, man. Pawn. All right, let's get into a final big debate for this episode here. And let's see what, and I say this saying, Ross, me and you have never had this conversation, so I don't know where it's going to go. So we'll see.
That's always a danger zone with me.
I know. We've had some funny things. We've had some ridiculous things. But at the end of the day, I truly believe that the 2020 election, the big three, as I like to call it, that are going to be the big three that we fight against, is this push for socialism, the push against guns, and abortion is number three. Okay, I think those are the big three. And the reason I bring this up is because the Wisconsin Trump rally is under scrutiny right now, because the president, in a clip, he goes on and he talks about what some states are wanting to do as far as abortion. And in the clip, we're not going to play it here. I'm going to summarize a little bit. He basically goes through the whole thing, that the baby would be delivered, they'd make the baby comfortable, and then the mother and the physician would decide what to do with the baby, right? Mm-hmm. So naturally, the left have come out and said Trump is blatantly lying about abortion or what physicians are doing or what some states want to do to push fear-mongering to the right. But I, of course, did some research, and I found, because he was quoting Ralph Northam, you know, the famous, you know, KKK yearbook photo guy. And I found the video clip that he was talking about. It's a radio interview, and Northam actually says, and I quote, The baby would be delivered. They would make the baby comfortable. And then the mom and the physician would make a decision after that. Mm-hmm. So Trump actually didn't do anything but quote verbatim mm-hmm. what was actually being said. So my question to you, Ross, is this. I guess it's a two-part question. One, do you agree with President Trump that this is a wrong thing? And then two, I mean, what do you agree that abortion is going to be one of the biggest arguments for the presidential candidacy in 2020?
You know, one, I don't agree with anything that guy said. Delivering a baby at full term and then deciding what to do with it and kill it afterwards is pure insanity to me.
It's evil. It's pure evil. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I don't know what world or what America I live in that's even a possibility. Right.
Right.
And you're right. He actually, I saw the radio interview you were talking about, and he actually did say that word for word, but he said it in a really creepy, slow Southern accent of like, yeah, what we're
almost casual, almost casual about it.
Yeah. And he goes, oh, it's in like a very kind of like a KFC ish, you know, like the Colonel of like, oh, we're going to get that baby real comfortable with the mom. They're going to be sitting together. They're going to make a decision. And then if that decision is to terminate the baby, then that's the decision. And you're just like, what? Go ahead and watch that clip. If you want to be creeped out, you don't have to rent a horror movie, you know, online or on demand. Watch that clip of just him talking about it.
Implant horns on his head while he's talking to.
Jeez. Again, it's hard to imagine that there's people alive in the world who believe in things like this. But here we are. This is our journey. Obviously, I don't agree with it. And I know the clip that Trump was referencing. And yes, he was quoting verbatim what that guy said. As far as part two of this, whether or not abortion becomes a major theme of this upcoming election, I'm not sure yet. And the reason is this: we're not really going to hear anything from the Republican Party probably until July of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As of this air date, to my knowledge, there isn't anybody even running against Trump. So
there's one idiot that said that he wanted to or put his name in, but everybody just kind of laughed at him. It's like, you're an idiot.
Yeah. And I don't think it's going to happen. So, you know, in the meantime, you have right now, I think 20 or 21 Democratic candidates, and they're going to have to tear each other's hearts out over this. I think abortion is one that they will steer away from simply because, you know, it's going to be
okay.
Dominated by the news cycle of all Democrats here for the next year until the, you know, until the election, essentially, until the debates. Now, then I think it'll depend on who their candidate is off of the left, of whether or not they're going to try to really push this abortion issue. So far, there has been no proof or any rulings with the Supreme Court that the laws and stance on abortion are going to change. So, you know, if they want to try to drive home that narrative, I think it's going to happen much later. But my gut tells me, you know, for right now, it sounds like a fun, flirty thing to add to Trump and the Republican Party. But I think that's all going to die down once these first debates start happening here in a couple months for the Democratic Party.
Jake, your thoughts?
Well, 99 out of 100 Democrats or people on the left that I talk to do not support the up to birth thing. They'll say, like, you know, 3-4 months. It always comes down to that line that we draw that says, oh, it's a human now, or it has a heartbeat now, or whatever. So I think most people are actually pretty moderate on it, even though the leaders of the party may take these stances. But I don't think it'll be too big of a topic in the campaign, because in my opinion, I think Buttigieg or Buttigieg will be the contender against Trump because he is moderate. His question that Bernie had about letting felons vote or whatever.
Yeah.
He said, no, of course not. Inmates shouldn't be able to vote. Once they get out, you know, he's going to be the one that has the moderate voice. And I think it's just going to come down to Trump needs to contain his name calling because this guy knows what he's talking about.
I think it's, and Ross and me had this discussion. He actually felt the same way that you do about Buttigieg or whatever, however you say his name.
He's the scariest contender we
have. I agree he's scary, but I think that you guys, again, and I said this with Ross, I think you guys are giving the Democratic train a little too much credit of how perverted they actually are and corrupt. I think Biden's got it. I do. I think even if Bernie Sanders is like ahead in some way, I think that the DNC will choose Biden.
We should do a hashtag thing.
Dear America, let us know what you think. Who ends up being the Democratic nominee for president? I think the DNC will screw Bernie over just like they did in 16, because for some reason, Biden reminds them of this golden era of the Democrats, where it was Obama, Biden, blah, blah, blah. And I don't see any Democrat that can beat Trump. I especially don't think Biden or Bernie can do it. Mm-hmm. I think that the DNC will again in 2020 inflict a mortal wound on themselves again. And I think 2024 is when we really have something to worry about.
It's funny how the Democrat, you know, the party that hates old white men is being led right now by two old white men.
Super old white men. Bernie's been old my whole life.
Yeah.
I'm serious, man. At the end of the day, I think that Jake, what you said, and Ross, what you said as well, that the vast majority of Americans are like, whoa, you know, hold up now. No, mm-hmm. we don't. But the scary thing to me is the fact that it is the Democratic leadership mm-hmm. that is pushing these things and that believe these things. So, you know, we sit here and we say the vast majority of Americans wouldn't ever, you know, do that, but they're the ones voting these people in. Right. At the end of the day, that's all I'm saying. That's going to cut it pretty close to the end for us. Ross, man, thanks so much for coming on for a little different version of a podcast than Drinking Bros, but I hope you had fun, man.
I always have a blast, and I hit you up after I listened to your first episode, and I was like, dude, I'm a fan of you and everything you do. You're one of our fan favorites on Drinking Bros. We'd love to have you on weekly if we could, man.
I'm all for it. Real quick, Ross, where can everybody find out what you're doing and Drinking Bros and all that stuff?
Absolutely. So you can find me at ST James on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. It's me. There's a blue check mark, so at least it's verified. You know who I am. Drinking Bros podcast is available on all platforms. And so is Ross Patterson Revolution. That show's become huge now as well. And that's available on all platforms. And that one, we got a female kick to it. Drinking Bros is all dudes. Ross Patterson Revolution, I got a female sidekick on there.
There we go. Man, you got to put feisty. The females on there. Yeah. Jake, where can they find you?
Find me at producer_Jake on Instagram.
And of course, you can find me, Graham Allen, across all platforms. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Dear America podcast. We hope you had a good time, and we'll see you again next time.
See ya.